All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, but before we go there, weather update, looking out the windows here at One City Center in downtown Bloomington. It's snowing.
And there's a lot of you dumb people out there today. Woo!
Yeah, the roads out there
got out of this,
really bad right now.
They are bad. I just came from south. I came from the Clear Creek region, tried to go up Gordon Pike. There were two cars that couldn't make it up the hill at Gordon Pike, so I turned around, put it in four-wheel drive, luckily, and got to Rogers and headed north into town there. Going against the grain because everybody's going home at that time.
Right.
That was my only saving grace, and it took me 25 minutes to get here in a drive that normally takes seven.
Let's just leave it this way for you, folks. If you don't have to go anywhere tonight, don't do it. It's nasty out there. It's coming down and is just slick as heck. And you know how that gets when people get on the road and they don't understand about how to drive in the slick weather. They're all over the place.
And the other part of this is if you travel anywhere where you're going up hills that are – there are plenty of them in Monroe County. You need to avoid them. There are people that cannot get up 2nd Street going north on Rogers, can't get up the hill with cars with front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive if you do not have four-wheel drive. There's a car sitting there, and people are trying to drive around it, and it's not good. I saw a Chevy Cavalier at 3rd and Rogers trying to go up towards Prospect Hill. Couldn't do it, backed down, turned around, went the other way. Again, Dave is exactly right. If you do not have to be out, don't be out. And everybody has the same idea as you do. Everybody wants to get home. Everybody's trying to find the alternate route. You all have the same great ideas. Take a deep breath. We had two ambulances come up Rogers, so we're trying to part that, and the ambulances are going down the middle with about three sheets of paper between each car. And please, don't turn right on red into traffic when traffic's coming. Those people aren't going to be able to stop. Do yourself a favor. We're here to talk about sports, but we got to talk about this as well.
And we can see out the window here.
Yeah,
we can see Walnut.
We got a front row seat.
We can see Walnut, and the traffic is moving on Walnut.
It's
not going to be fast, but the point there is that it is moving if you stick with the major roads. If you try to go, you know, on all the little ones and think you're going to outsmart everybody,
downtown,
you're probably going to end up in a parked car.
Downtown Bloomington, besides Walnut and College, is a ghost town.
Yeah.
As everybody cleared out at the exact same time, and again, is waiting to go the same route you are. The only reason that Walnut and College look good is because the traffic is turning over what's on it.
And that's the point. Stick with the major roads at this point. It'll take you a little longer, but it's better than getting in a wreck and doing something to your car and somebody else's car at
that's
the same time.
That's the other thing that you worry about is, you know, your brakes.
Hitting
you
a parked
not,
car.
Yeah, you might not worry about that.
I don't know if
that.
You've noticed, but the streets are a little thinner right now because of the snow on the sides.
And there's potholes everywhere.
333-2665 is the phone number. I promise we won't talk weather all night long, but do be careful if you have to be out, and try not to be out if you don't. In the meantime, though, we've got more to be outraged about, of course, and that is Indiana basketball's effort last night at home against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The last two games at home against Iowa and Michigan State, a chance to cement their entrance into the NCAA tournament. Who knows what the exact qualification is, but you would think at least winning one or two or both or one or at least something. Would have been a wise idea for the Hoosiers, and instead, after about the 10-minute mark last night of the first half, unable to generate much in the way of offense. Defense, not the most awful they have played in the world, but not good enough given they could not score. It comes back to me to the effort, and ultimately it's going to come down to what happens with the coaching staff, the coaches, and the program entirely, including the players in the program. We'll talk about all of that in a little while, but we'll look at the game in particular right now. 333-2665 is our phone number. Glass, they got the offense going early, but after about that 10-minute mark, it just ground to an absolute halt. And I, watching the game, I didn't think Iowa came out and put down any kind of clamp down defense. They threw a zone out there.
Which they play all the time. We told you that on Monday night.
We looked like we weren't exactly sure how to get our offense going against it. There was forced movement in the form of the weave that they run on a regular basis. It basically forced some things. But largely, they were out there calling plays, wondering who's got to go where, could not beat a screen and roll, could not take advantage of any screen and rolls, high ball screens at all.
You
they just got
why?
Jumped all over it. Couldn't get the ball to the screener. It was basically a disaster on the offensive end for the second game in a row.
Well, sadly, there was no plan B for the second game in a row, Dave. How many free throws? 11 at home. 11. Mm-hmm. Count them. Why? You couldn't find ways to attack it. And we told you on Monday night, I was going to play zone, and they're going to give you problems because 6'3", 6'7", 6'9", 6'10", 6'10". You know what that means? It means long arms. It means not a lot of looks when you come around corners. It means not a lot of looks when you cut. It means there's not a lot of passing lanes when you're there. And Iowa, is a good defensive team. They're not a Hall of Fame team.
They're not great.
They're pretty good at what they do against field goal percentage in the league. They're 38% lead in the league, or top two or three in the league in field goal defense, so they have been better at it. But what happens again? Troy 3-13, Yogi 3-11. Your two best scorers, or your two best players, Dave, are 6-24 at home. Mm-hmm. So the excuse last Wednesday was, boy, had good shots, didn't go in. Last night you had a bunch of layups that didn't go in. Well, when you go in the lane and you're not set and your body's out of control and you're twisting and turning, mm-hmm. the ball doesn't go in the basket. And if you don't get fouled, it's not a foul because the referee said it's not a foul. That's the other problem. And 11 foul shots, there wasn't 15 times in the game where you said, geez, you're not getting any calls at home.
No.
This is terrible. It was players in the lane, out of control to a degree, because instead of maybe getting through the contact, avoiding, trying to finish, mm-hmm. Emmett Holt gets a rebound, goes up with his right hand inside when it should have been his left hand outside.
Blackman got blocked on a layup with his going to his right hand from the left side.
Sure, yeah. But you just saw little fundamental things that didn't happen. And again, take Nick Zeisloff's numbers out of the three-point shooting. How many did they hit?
Nick Zeisloff was
5 of 7
on threes. Then they were 5 of 18 for the rest of the team. Robert Johnson, 1 of 6. James Blackman, 2 of 7. Yogi, 2 of 5. That was all.
Just keep adding them up, and it doesn't add up because there wasn't plan B. Troy missed 5 or 6 or 7 shots with inside of 3 feet because sometimes he was out of control. Sometimes he thought he was going to get contact that never came. Mm-hmm. Iowa was not a big fouling team. We talked about that Monday.
We've seen Troy when he goes to the basket, and he goes with all the fury he's got, and I love it, but you know, too often he's looking to avoid bodies in the middle there. It's understandable. You don't want to get slammed to the floor, but you're not going to get fouled if you don't go into a body at the very least.
Nope. And again, fading in and out of games, and it just, again, nice job rebounding. That's fine. No question about it. But when you have the two best players on your team shoot 6 of 24, it's not another bad shooting night. It's those guys being shut down and other players forced to step up. Zeisloff came in and stepped up off the bench. Mm-hmm. That was pretty about much it.
Yeah.
It. And you get into the dog days. And Joe Smith and I talked about this morning, Dave. Remember a couple weeks ago, freshmen haven't hit a wall. We haven't hit a wall. What wall are you talking about?
Nah.
Bam, smack, right in the dad. And we told you it was coming.
Yeah.
We told you. And why people don't want to believe this and just start writing down W's doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
And why they continue to do it drives you absolutely crazy.
Nope. You've seen it with the minutes in particular they're playing.
Huge
too.
Minutes.
You're getting a lot out of the starters, and you're getting a lot of nothing out of the bench, and even less.
And that's a roster problem.
We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. More Hoosiers when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick notes here. Again, it is snowing out there, and it is slick on the roads. Just following Twitter here, and the HT has a features thing that I follow on there. They are noting that their newsroom scanner is noisy with all the accident reports. So they're all over. We've heard some sirens here around the downtown area with police trying to get to accidents out there. It is slick, folks, so if you don't have to drive anywhere, please don't. And if you do have to drive somewhere, be slow and smart. This is not the time to show how brave you are and how smart you are in the snow, because chances are it's going to take advantage of you this time around.
And I'm going to be a jerk, too. If your car slides off the road a little bit and you need some help, call a tow truck. The police need to help people that have problems and need injuries. They're not going to come and tow you out. That's not what the police do. They do a lot of great things for the city and a lot of great things for these folks. Please be responsible and call AAA or call a towing service. Everybody's got the internet on their phone now. Let the police handle the people that maybe who have sadly been in an accident and need police help than they need to do because your car slid into a fire hydrant. That's not what they're for tonight.
Quick programming note. We've got a pair of wins last night on the south side for the north and south basketball teams, so they will advance in the sectionals to Friday night. We'll have both their games for you this Friday night. North takes on East Central. Tip-off is 6 o'clock, and Chalk Talk starts at 5:30. And then the nightcap is shortly thereafter. We're putting 8 o'clock for the tip and 7:30 for Chalk Talk, but it's roughly a little while or right after the end of the East Central North game, and South will be playing Columbus East, and they're looking to set up a Saturday night sectional championship. And if it happens that way, North versus South, or either team is in that sectional championship, it will tip at 7:30 on Saturday with Chalk Talk starting at 7 o'clock. So potential here for a lot of local basketball.
So just tune in at 5:30 and leave it on, because if it's triple overtime, it's we're not going to know. Hey, Jim, call us back. I accidentally hit the wrong button, hung up on you. Jim wanted to talk IU hoops at 333-2665. Give us a ring back. We'll get you on the air to talk about
that. Should note also that Edgewood is playing a Friday night. I don't have time on that. We won't have it on the air, but they will be playing Friday night. We wish them luck as well. They have a rematch against Brown County, who beat them at Edgewood earlier this year, so they're chomping at the bit for that, I know. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball. Last night, losers to Iowa in the Assembly Hall. Again, no one knows for sure what IU needs to do to get into the NCAA tournament. We can take it later on in a different direction and say we don't know what they need to do to keep everybody's job and roster spot for next year either. But sticking with the team and the NCAAs in particular, extremely disappointing. This is 7 losses out of their last 11. Again, as I mentioned on Monday, I can understand losing at Ohio State, at Purdue, at Maryland, at Wisconsin. Those are the best teams
at
in the
Michigan
Big Ten
State.
Right now. Well, I'm talking in this stretch of games.
Okay.
That's how you started it out. The problem is you've lost at home to Purdue, at home to Iowa, and at Northwestern. And those are not good losses. Not when you're playing at home in the Big Ten. I understand Purdue's a good team. I understand Iowa's a team that wants to get to the postseason. But these are the games where you're supposed to cement that NCAA tournament bid. It's very much on the bubble, if not slipping away very quickly.
Joe Lunardi last four in last night on ESPN.
And now you've got to play Michigan State on Saturday.
And Joe Lunardi's not hyper accurate, and it's something you shouldn't write in permanent marker. It is just a indication of things to come if it continues to head.
You got a minimum two more
direction.
Games. And if that's it, you might not get in.
It is. Exactly right.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Jim. Jim, thanks for calling back. Technical difficulties here. The snow's
the snow got in the
snow's
phone
in his
there,
brain
Jim.
Over there.
Jim wants to talk hoops. What's on your mind?
How are you? Listen, I've been watching the last few games here, and a lot of people don't make a mistake about Iowa playing four games in the last 10 days.
And overtime on Saturday night. Overtime on Saturday night at Penn State.
Mm-hmm. And I think the elephant, or the, what do they call it, the 300-pound gorilla in the
room. Yeah. Or the elephant.
Or the elephant.
Yeah,
under
the rug, yeah.
Yeah, would be the front court. And there's no getting away from that. I mean, if you're the one-dimensional offense, you're going to suffer. And what I would like to ask you guys, I was watching Fox 59, and I don't know if you guys had seen it on the news report there, that they're already talking about the buyout of Tom Crean.
They've been talking about that since the season started.
Yeah,
the Indianapolis Stars ran that story four times since November 21st.
This one right here from Zach Osterman says originally published December 18th, but updated 11:53 this morning.
Yeah, to me, when you got IU, which is supposed to be the premier program in Indiana, and you have teams like Purdue, Butler, playing, and of course getting better players. In my opinion, I'm an East Coast guy. I'll be honest with you. I'm a Nova guy, and we escaped with a win last night. Thank God.
At Creighton, absolutely.
But I think IU's problems are pretty much really obvious, and anybody that can't see it is really denying the obvious that they are a one-dimensional offense. Crean will run a simple weave and, more or less throw a three up and you get a three or nothing. And there's offensive rebounding, forget about it. And defense, they are all over the place. and can't seem to match up well, especially when somebody throws a zone when they are like last night when they faced a zone, they can't seem to get it done. And to me,
the entire precipice of Indiana's success this year has been based on making shots. It has not been based on defensive stops. It has not been based on forcing turnovers. Mm-hmm. It has not been based on anything except tempo that leads to baskets. Yeah. And when that basket happens, and Indiana is a classic flat track front running bully, when Indiana gets ahead of you, you have to change what you're doing to figure out how to keep up with what Indiana does. You saw it against Maryland at Assembly Hall. You saw it against Minnesota at the Assembly Hall. Yeah. That's 15 three-pointers. That's 18 three-pointers.
No. Well, I agree with that. That's my point. Early season games, once you get later in the season, Teams will adjust. Yeah,
there's better coaches. There's film. The Big Ten, we agree with you 100%. Indiana is 4-7 in their last 11 games. Half of those wins are against Rutgers. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. And Indiana, again, when they do not score the basketball and drive the bus, when they are a passenger on the bus, they struggle because their second-best player, Troy Williams, struggles outside of 6 feet. Their two other shooters, quote-unquote, are freshmen, who are now 29, 28 games into it,
and they're dead on their feet.
Yep. Nick Zeisloff gives you 15 points one game and then scores 15 points in five games, but that's filling in for other people. And the front court that you mentioned, Colin Hartman, before he got injured, those three games, I think he had about 9 points.
Yeah, he had been taken out of the game essentially by the change.
And I agree with you, Jim. I think there's too much film, there's too many good coaches in the league, and every team in the Big Ten is playing for something.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When we had Kelvin Sampson here, and he was getting ran out of town, which I agree with, by the way.
Hard to defend that one in the end. There was an opportunity to get a coach,
and his name was Rick Barnes. And YIU, and he went to Texas.
Although you left somebody off that list that's doing a little bit better than Rick Barnes. His name is Tony Bennett.
Well, we can argue about that.
We're not going to argue about that. Tony Bennett was on that list, and he
wanted nothing to do with us.
And he did not choose to even hear
our overtures. His sisters are sore about IU.
there's coaches out there, and obviously it's not just coaching, it's recruiting.
Which Rick Barnes can do, but Rick Barnes was. I was looking at Iowa's schedule. When Iowa played Texas in November,
Rick Barnes gets nothing out of
this team. Rick Barnes was 10th with Texas, and now they are six.
Great recruits.
They are 7-9.
You're right, though. I mean, up front recruiting right now is the problem. And the other problem with that is the best up front game we've had for the team all year long, offensively, and I don't mean an individual game, but the way they play, is when we didn't go big, we went small and spread out the floor. And that was a period of time where that worked. Give Colin Hartman a ton of credit for stepping into an odd arrangement for him and bringing not only his outside shot, but some decent, at least, positioning defense inside. It wasn't great, wasn't wonderful, but it was different, and he worked hard at it. Since Hanner Mosquera-Perea has come back from injury, a couple things have happened. First of all, Colin Hartman's role has started to diminish, and then he got hurt. Emmett Holtz hit the wall big time and is barely playing anymore.
That's, you can't expect anything
that's
from him.
I understand right. That's what happened. And because of the injury time off, Hanner Mosquera-Perea is now back to where he was at the beginning of the year, which we knew was going to be difficult. We were hoping Perea by now would be rounding into a very useful inside player. Instead, his development got hiccuped in the entire thing. And now we seem to not be able to go back to going small, partly because of a couple matchups we've had.
Hey, Jim, and I'm going to take
it. It ain't working right now.
And I'm going to take it one more level. Indiana last led at the six-minute mark in the first half of yesterday's game against Iowa, a team on a four-game winning streak, and their winning streak was against Rutgers, Nebraska, Penn State, and Illinois. Mm-hmm. Again, not beating the top of the league, beating the bottom of the league, which teams need to do to get to where Iowa wants to go. 20 wins, maybe a first round bye. Indiana in the same boat as Dan Dockage told you at tip off. Mm-hmm. Both teams playing for something, both teams doing this, doing that. Indiana takes the lead at 24-23 in a Perea layup after a jock doesn't get back on defense for the 33rd time. Indiana takes the lead for the next 6 minutes of the half. And the next 20 minutes of the second half, after a 15-minute interval, Indiana did not tie the game, and they did not lead the game. On their home court in the first Tuesday of March, they did not tie the game or take the lead in a game they had to win. Those are facts.
Wouldn't you agree? Let me just say this last thing, and I'll get off.
No, you've been good.
No.
We'll keep you for good.
It's about maybe a week ago. I'm not sure about how many days. Yogi Ferrell stepped up, and I don't know whether Tom had told him to say something, and maybe he was trying to come across as a team leader. He said something, and he said, people ain't playing. You know, and,
yeah, he said it after the Purdue game. When Purdue came here,
and that right there told me that anybody that's played ball.
Here, I'll tell you the story, Jim. Indiana at halftime led Purdue by 2 points. Purdue came out and led for 19 minutes and the next 19 minutes and 41 seconds on Indiana's home court in a game. Again, a home game in the Big Ten, and Yogi came out and said, our fight didn't match their fight. And that was a team, Purdue, who led by 20 points at Mackey and beat them by 16 points. So they couldn't find fight against their biggest opponent in a revenge game at home when their season, a nice little run there of Rutgers, Northwestern, whatever else, you kick it off with Purdue at home, you've got all that stuff going on, and they don't fire.
It's a pair of home games.
Exactly.
They don't fire.
It's a pair of home games you need to win in the Big Ten, and they blow it completely.
What does that tell you?
What does that tell you?
Here's your answer.
As the old saying goes, you know what runs downhill.
Here's your answer. He sent six guys to the podium last night after the game. Six.
Exactly.
So is he doing it to hide it? Is he doing it to share the blame with everybody? Is he doing it not to point a finger? That'd be a great question to ask. Why'd you send six guys? Why did you send freshmen to that podium last night after the game to hear questions? Did you hear the boos? Yogi, do you think your season is over? And the freshman sat up there and had to listen. He didn't protect him.
No.
He set him right out there.
You know, I don't want to
these are facts.
Back here, but
these are facts. These are things that happen. These are actual quotes. These are actual numbers. These are actual things that happen on the court.
Absolutely.
These are nothing of opinion.
My opinion is,
go ahead.
Well, I'll leave you with this. my opinion is, and like I said, Tom Crean, I respect him, did a good job, claimed to fame, Dwayne Wade and all that business, but I think it's time for a change, and I think it's time for people to realize it's time for a change, and I think the sooner the better, and I'll just leave you guys with that.
Jim, great call.
Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. We do have to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number, and it'll be that point in the show where we put in our 2 cents on exactly that topic when we get back. So in just a couple minutes, come on back. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Our public service announcements here to start off. It's snowing and it is very slick out, folks. So if you don't have to be on the roads, let's start there. Don't go out on the roads for a while. Snowing, slick, dangerous. A lot of people trying to get home, trying to get around. If you have to be on the roads, be smart. First of all, try that for a change and back off. Just go ahead and take the major roads. They're the ones that are the clearest at this point
in
time.
And there go the city trucks right by to make sure they prove that point.
Again, we see Walnut moving,
yes.
But I see 7th Street here, and that's where it's slick. It's all the other streets. The major roads, you can make it somewhere if you can just be patient. If you start going on the other roads, you're going to run into something or slide off of something. So just be smart, will you? Quick programming note. This Friday night, we've got high school basketball returning as both North and South move on to the sectional second round. North will face East Central at 6 o'clock, and we'll have Chalk Talk at 5:30 for that on Friday night. And then shortly thereafter, we'll have another Chalk Talk and tip-off for South and Columbus East. And hopefully they both make it to Saturday night. And if that happens, we'll take over 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, 7:30 tip-off for the sectional championship. Of course, we'll have that if one of the teams is in it, but we're hoping that both of them is in it. It'd be nice to have another North-South sectional championship. That's always fun. 333-2665 is a phone number. All right, here it's time. You know me. I am sympathetic to coaches because my dad is a coach. I know a lot of coaches. I have the their perspective
sure.
to a lot of degrees. There are a lot of things that go on with making a program successful. With this program right now, and hear me out on this,
yeah.
with this program right now, people still underestimate what happened a few years ago and when they had to start the roster over and what it does to a program. It's not as simple as just bringing somebody back in to hit the ground running and step on the accelerator, okay? That has to be figured in at some point in time. I don't think it will be by fans, but if nothing happens, it will be because it's being figured in by the athletic director. The other side of this is you do have to look at recruiting. You do have to look at the way these things go down. You have to look at the other things you asked this to be done here, one of which was academics. They were in awful academic shape. Academics have been stellar the last 5, 6, 7 years for this team. They've worked their way back into it. They're putting out their 1,000 APRs, whatever exactly that calculation means. These are all factors to the thing. However, and most coaches will tell you this exact same thing, when you watch a team play, the coaches want you to do things on the court. Sounds like a simple thing, but what we're seeing right now for the second year in a row is we're seeing a team by the end of the season,
third,
that is, well, at least a second, that is not doing what the coaches want them to do. That's a problem. That's a major problem. And what you get is eventually you get shut out by your players and your team. We saw this at the end of the Bob Knight era. Teams were just happy to get the darn season over with and be done with it. This team, for the second year in a row, at the end of the very end of the season, does not look like they are following any direction. They're frustrating. The coach is pulling his hair out. And for the second year in a row, you're hearing the fans having the exact same reaction of pulling their hair out and being irritated about the entire thing. With a program, there can be, and often is, a time when it's just time for it to change because it's not working anymore. If you don't like Crean, you've been shouting for years that you want him out of there, you'll go ahead. You shout it. You say you were right. Absolutely take it. I could care less. But the bottom line right now is nobody's listening to anybody right now in that program. And that's a problem. And the only way that problem gets solved, and for the fans to be involved in this thing also, is to start over with a fresh start and see what you can do with it after that. Now, buyout, look, folks, stop talking about the buyout. The buyout doesn't matter. I mean, it's cash, fine. There's cash coming from somewhere. If they want to buy him out, they will buy him out. That's not a problem. They're not going to wait 2 years to get a smaller buyout. Just let that go.
If the buyout is a problem, then you never have to worry about being a player in the college basketball game ever again.
It's not an issue. They'll have to find it somewhere. They will find it somewhere. Don't worry about it.
My sources have told me it's been found. It's sitting,
not a problem.
It's sitting and waiting.
There are two things that you do at this level that people always miss and always seem to overplay the other direction. One, don't worry about the buyout. You'll find the cash. You're a big player in college basketball. You'll find the cash.
Yep.
That won't be a problem. The other thing you don't do if you're going to make a change is you don't look at roster and recruiting and say, well, but we got these guys coming in or we got those guys that might not come back.
You won't do it right.
You don't.
You can.
You
won't
do it
right.
They did that wrong with Mike Davis. After 1 year with Mike Davis, they should have just said, nope, you know what? Great job, Mike. We'll love to keep you around. We'll give you a huge buyout. Anything. You don't look at the roster and what might happen in that regards. And that's harsh to the kids who committed to Tom Crean and want to play for him. That's the way these things work. You make a decision because you want the program to be going the right way. And right now, nobody's listening to anybody over there.
And the interesting part, moving forward, is the frustrating part for fans was last year Indiana's team could not throw the ball in the ocean if they fell out of a boat.
Yeah.
But they were in the top 3 or 4 defensively and graduated Will Sheehy and who else? Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the entire roster forgets how to play defense, mm-hmm. and you're the leading scoring team.
They weren't any good at defense last year.
They were top 3 in field goal percentage.
Yeah,
they were
shot
blocker. But my point was, Indiana wasn't playing games, getting beat 88-6, whatever it was. The games they were playing were 54-47, 59-55. Those games have disappeared. They're gone.
Yeah.
They're not here. So that team that played all those games last year added Holt, Johnson, Blackman,
mm-hmm.
Zeisloff. Those are guys that play, right?
Hartman
was part of that theory. He saw it go on.
He wasn't playing much.
Neither was Perea.
Yeah.
So that tells you what. The players that played Will Sheehy wasn't the anchor of any defense.
No.
I've got a picture of my phone when Penn State laid the ball in the basket to beat us, and his back is to the basket, turned, foot away from the rim.
Right.
So that wasn't the issue, folks.
No, look.
The problem is there is the problem. The problem is the inconsistency. The problem is the roster. The problem is the depth. The problem is the lack of depth. The problem is the lack of experience. The problem is the lack of seniors. All of that is the CEO's issue.
Yeah.
You get paid $3.4 million a year. It is your job to make sure in year seven that some of these boxes are checked, that Maurice Creek doesn't leave, that Matt Roth doesn't go, that Austin Etherington doesn't quit, Remy Abel goes.
Players leave. They leave
sure,
all the time.
But if
we had far better players leave 20 years ago.
If you don't have seniors and you don't have experience and guys aren't here, I don't know who to blame.
No, look.
They're like not said, here.
Things happen, and things
they're
happen
not.
With the roster
they
that
do.
You can't control. We can't control that Hunter Mascara-Perea got hurt. He was playing.
No, you can't.
He was on a decent upward trend at the time. Who knows what it would have looked like? The game at Nebraska was a grinded out, tough it out game that did not come down to us hitting 15 threes.
There you
it didn't.
Go.
They went to Illinois shortly thereafter and found a way to win that game. Those were tough it out games. That tells you they can tough it out if they want to tough it out. So they can't tough it out at home against Purdue at Iowa. Or up at Northwestern. Look, that's right now playing at Northwestern is hard. Michigan went to double overtime and lost too. Iowa had lost at Northwestern before they went on this little streak against the Rutgers and Nebraska's
team lost by 26 points.
Exactly. But the point there is, at home against your rival and against the team you need to beat to make any waves, not only did they lose because he didn't get beat on the last second shot. Brian Butch didn't shoot one from 80 feet and bank it in to beat you. No, that was Brian Butch.
Nick Anderson hit it from half court.
But
he swished.
He didn't bank it. See,
there.
That's the point. But they didn't. It didn't come down to that. It came down to a lack of effort for the last 30 minutes of both these games. And that's the problem with it right now is it's not getting through. It's not getting through for another year in a row. And again, you saw last night, the fans have had it and been had it for a couple years. But when they're walking out with 10 minutes left in the game, it's not good.
Well, why did last night break the straw that broke the can? Why was that the issue?
I have no idea.
The Northwestern game? The Purdue game before that.
I don't know.
Rutgers again beating up Rutgers twice.
Why were there empty seats last night? Well, here one news flash: there have been empty seats all year
long. There are. The tickets are bought, folks.
Yeah.
That's the attendance number. They're bought. Whether they're used or not, it's a different story.
Well, exactly. look, if we've got Hoosier fans in there for 10 or 20 minutes booing the team on offense, you got an issue. And I can talk in different times about all the things that I like about the way that Crean has set up his program. But the bottom line is twofold. One, he's never made a whole lot of friends
in
a lot of different areas.
And I'm going to tell you this right now.
They're not buying into it right now. They're simply not playing for him right now. And that's your issue right there. When that happens, when the fans ditch you too, all you can do is change. It's all you can do.
If you don't win basketball games, nobody cares what your APR is.
No, of course.
Those are facts. And nobody cares.
Nobody cares that you get guys of the NBA and develop them in the top 10,
And that's the other thing. If Cody and Victor going, 2-3 in the draft? 2-4?
Yeah, 2-4.
I don't even remember. You know why? Because I don't care. Because I care about college basketball, not about pro basketball. Where's the recruiting windfall from that? Where's the wins and losses that you
Robert
said?
Johnson?
Well, geez, you ranked number one in the country for so long, for the whole season minus a couple weeks, and all the publicity and the college game day and Cody's here and that, and you hit the shot last year when we're back. Substance, man. Style's one thing. You ever gone to the restaurant and ate the sizzle, or do you eat the steak? Sizzle sounds good, might smell good, but you don't eat the sizzle. And
I eat the chicken fingers.
Right now, there is no sizzle, and there is no steak. And Indiana, in the relativity of college basketball, is A, relevant, B, irrelevant, or C, apathetic.
We got to take a quick break. When we get back, Mike Miller has just posted some comments from one Fred Glass on this very subject. We'll give you those comments when we get back. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. PSA here, newsflash, it's snowing and it's slick, so don't go anywhere. And if you do, go slowly. There you go. Friday night, we've got high school basketball returning, starting at 5:30 for Chalk Talk, leading into the Northeast Central sectional semifinal, and then immediately thereafter, or shortly thereafter, South and Columbus North in the other sectional semifinal. It starts at 5:30 here on Friday night. 333-2665 is our phone number. Online, if you want to find it, on HoosiersHQ.com. It's the Hoosier Scoop. Mike Miller has an exclusive interview he's posted just short of an hour ago with Fred Glass. We'll give you a couple of his comments.
Exclusive?
Well, it's what it says in here.
Mikey,
exclusive
good job.
Interview.
Mike's a good kid and a good reporter.
Yes, he is.
And they got torched last night. Did you listen to the postgame?
No. Who?
Crane.
Went after the HT?
Not him, but it wasn't the old guys in the room that he went after.
Good for him. Here is what Fred Glass, not you, said about Tom. Tom is definitely not coaching for his job on Saturday. I believe you've got to look at the body of work for Tom and his ears here. I think the body of work is pretty darn good and certainly merits his continued leadership of the program. He goes on, the buyout in some quarters is overblown. I get that it's a big number. What people don't realize is if that were to occur, it would be paid out over 5 years. It's not like he gets a $10 million check and walks out the door. If it gets paid out over time as if it were a regular salary over 5 years, which mitigates the impact to the department. I think we said something about that just a little while ago. I'm really disappointed in the rough patch, just like everyone else in Hoosier Nation, including Tom and the team. I truly am. I don't like the losses we've had, but just like I wasn't popping champagne corks in January, I'm not ready to slip my wrists now. So that's what he said. But again, the key point about the buyout is don't worry about the buyout. All right, just leave it alone. You don't worry about the buyout. You don't worry about the roster or the recruiting. Those are the two things you don't do when you're making decisions like this. Everybody seems to want to make those decisions. Oh, you can't do that. You got this recruiter, that recruiter, this guy, or Yogi's going to go pro. Look, I mean, I'm all for the kids. Trust me, I'm behind them. I want them to succeed and have their best situations, but you don't make these decisions on that. So, 333-2665. Let's bring in our friend John. John, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, guys. Be careful going home tonight, all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was treacherous getting here, so.
Stay home, John.
Yeah, I am. Believe me. Was that the dreaded vote of confidence I just heard you give?
Yes.
By a friend.
Or a guy didn't want to talk too much about buyouts. He gave you just about every detail buyout.
He spent a lot more talking about the buyout. I just didn't have time.
Hey, and let's remember, I'm cordial with Fred Glass. He's been on my program. I see him on Joe's show all the time. He's a lawyer. And if you want to get into picking apart word by word, and
he's also
say,
been in the political world too. So
well, he's done that a couple times, and you know what? He might not be coaching for his job on Saturday. That decision might already be made.
Yeah.
If you want to get in between the lines and dig into this, you cannot ignore that.
It might have cost him when you look at the full body of work. Quote,
exactly
unquote.
Right. Yeah. And whether that's done or not, but John joins us on a Wednesday night. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I don't want to. I'm not going to talk. Spend a lot of time talking about that tonight because there's going to be plenty of time. But
okay,
Jim had a really good call and a lot of good points. But one thing he mentioned, the name Rick Barnes. If you guys remember back in '06 with Mike Davis, the week he resigned, I called you on a Wednesday and I presented his name as a guy
I do
would
remember
like to see doing a job. Well, I talked to somebody who used to coach with Rick Barnes and was no longer coaching, but and no longer in coaching, but was still really friendly with him. And I told him that Rick Barnes was a guy I would like to see get the job back in '06. And he talked to Rick Barnes and told him that. And Rick Barnes got told him to tell me that thanks for the the high opinion and everything like that. He said there's no chance of me ever coaching at IU because A, I'm making a lot of money at Texas, and B, I have minimal pressure here, and you guys are nuts.
Yes.
And so the bottom line is the guy that takes this job better have a thick skin.
Now, I and John, you bring me to the third thing that I forgot to mention earlier, and that is the other discussion you always hear among fans at this point is, well, who are we going to get? No. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be Mike Krzyzewski, okay? Let's not be stupid. But the other thing you don't do is decide yes or no based on, well, we don't think we can get anybody. No, you open it up. You go out there, and hopefully you don't do something silly like
Kelvin Sampson?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get it right.
Well, everybody knows how that story went down. That wasn't exactly a one-man coaching search. Does that qualify?
Yeah, I don't think you'll make
that. Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
But you're right about Rick Barnes. First of all, he does have a cush job where he's out of Texas. He doesn't have any pressure, and people
do
have to remember.
He's the Mike Bray of the South.
There's a ton of pressure here. That said, I know a lot of people who aren't all that big a fan of Rick Barnes as a basketball coach, and given the talent he's had, he has not done anything with it.
It's a revolving door. It's hard to keep him.
Congratulations for recruiting.
You know, six. Now, he would not be my choice now, but I just wanted to explain to Jim why that was not going to be an option, because he had no interest in the job.
That's the whole thing.
Just like Tony Bennett had no interest in the job.
Yeah, and Mark Few had no interest in the job because he didn't have any interest in any job. I mean, he didn't want the Oregon job, and they were begging him to come there, and he's an alum of Oregon.
I think
give him $20 million a year.
No, they'd give him more.
Right.
They'd give him a check.
I think people in that regard are shocked that IU's name doesn't automatically get you in the door. But there are people now who have options.
You may not. I mean, even Kentucky, when they were replacing Joby Hall, they wanted Lute Olson and they wanted Mike Krzyzewski. They had no chance. These are one of those guys. But there's lots of guys that are interested that are really good coaches. Don't use facts, not in evidence, that you can't get so-and-so because you don't know who you
have. The only fact that will come out, and it happens every time, is the day the guy's introduced at a press conference. Anything else is complete and utter hearsay and everything else that goes on top of it. Because, again, you're right. Every message board will tell you this. There will be every guy that's ever coached a game for the last 10 years will be mentioned in some, just so somebody can say, I told you so. But, again, we're not even to that point yet.
I'll leave you with this because I know you're pressed for time.
Yes, we are. Very good.
Last night at the game, the crowd was morose and they were really down. I was at the last crowd before they went to Assembly Hall when they played Illinois, Lou Watson's last game, and he had already announced he was resigning, and the crowd was exactly the very same way. Who can we get? I mean, we plateaued out. We know this guy. Well, they knew Lou Watson was leaving, and they don't know that about Tom Crean yet. But things will work themselves out. If you're Indiana, you should be able to get a really good coach if that's what you have to do.
We'll get somebody. John,
good
we got to let you go.
John.
We're up against it.
We'll see you, buddy.
Another good call. We appreciate it. Again, be safe tonight, folks. The roads are awful, and we didn't get a chance to talk about the Hoosiers needing to win Saturday at noon on Assembly Hall's court against Michigan State. Probably just as well. That would have been depressing. But we'll talk to you about it on Monday, so tune in then. Remember, high school basketball this Friday night starts 5:30 for Chalk Talk for a sectional semifinal doubleheader. So tune in then. Tune in to us on Monday, and you've been in the zone.